With our special guest tonight, Sidney Kirkpatrick, as we talk about true tales from the KC Vault. And do get up to our website, coasttocoastam.com. They're giving a 25% membership discount if you join the Association for Research and Enlightenment, plus some other goodies there, too, which you'll be able to see at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Sidney Kirkpatrick with us. Sidney, I wanted you to elaborate a little bit on the discount that they're giving our listeners, because that also includes a subscription to your Venture Inward magazine, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's wonderful. Membership. Wait, what membership really does? I mean, the way I think to look at.
You've got access to all his stuff, right?
Exactly. That's really what one of the big essentials you're getting is access to the KC readings and help, you know, help you guide yourself through it. But there's other perks. I think new members will get an astrological forecast, which is rather cool. Astrology is a great subject in KC readings. Every astrologer will be quick to tell you how those planets and configurations, you know, affect behavior. But the KC readings really go into why. I mean, that's one of the things that the KC readings do, explain why that is. And it's a bizarre subject, and it goes off into many different directions. But essentially, that you have sojourned, you know, in a previous lifetime or in another dimension on these planets, so that when the planet comes near the Earth, it has that effect on you. Here I am going off on tangents. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Was his notoriety primarily from the health readings or the predictions?
Oh, certainly the health readings began it all. I mean, and many, many famous people had health readings and used them, and they were very successful, and that's sort of what made him a sensation. He had a cover story in the New York Times, which really promoted his career. But I think, as anyone will soon see, you start studying these medical readings, and in order to truly understand them, you got to understand some of the past life readings, where you've got to understand some of the ancient mysteries, and you start realizing that all of these readings are a whole, all taken together to really understand it. And the bigger message, of course, is that you have a soul, and that soul has existed long before, you know, or before you came into a human, you know, human form, and you will go on, you know, that there's another dimension exists, and that may be the larger, truer dimension. And I think, you know, that's really why KC came in this incarnation, or one might say is the bigger picture of the KC story, is sort of proof positive of another dimension, of an afterlife, of another, you know, another.
Did he have to summon up whatever helpers he had in the trance state, or did they just like show up?
I think they showed up, but one of the things is the more genuine the request for information. Say, I mean, if you were just a looky-loo, or you were seeking to get an edge on the stock market or racetrack reading or something like that, what came through was very different than if you genuinely, deeply wanted help. And I think they started realizing that with the medical readings, that if someone really, really needed help and they felt it, and you know, they're dying of cancer, breast cancer, for example, and someone would come to KC and it would be a little outpouring of information, just very, very detailed. And KC, interesting enough, KC never gave advice that you couldn't yourself use or do. Like if you had, the breast cancer is a good example of this. You know, two women coming to him with a very similar, almost exact same condition. One is sent to the Mayo Brothers Clinic, and the other is a farm woman who doesn't have the money to go to Mayo Bluff, so he doesn't recommend she go there. But what he recommended to her was that her husband raise a certain type of rabbit, and that he skin one of these rabbits daily or weekly, and that she is to, you know, use the inside of the fat layer on this rabbit's pelt to treat herself.
Hmm.
So you know, if you had the means to go get certain, you know, medications or things, that's what Casey recommended. But nothing was recommended that you couldn't reach out and do yourself.
All right, let's go to some of the calls here for you. Let us go to Don in Cortland, New York, to get us started. Hey, Don, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, George, and to your guest. Thank him for his extended information on Edgar Casey.
Sure thing.
A true believer in Edgar Casey. I have many of his books. I visited the Association for Enlightenment down in Virginia Beach when the hospital was still open in the back of up on the hill.
Wow, great. Oh, how delightful. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, and you know, to begin with, Edgar Casey was taken advantage of by unscrupulous people. And he got so disgusted when he came out of a trance and found out he gave somebody the winner of a race, he quit doing it for some time until they talked him back into doing it. And he finally got his assistant. I think her name was Gladys, was it?
Yes, Gladys Davis.
Yeah, and she took the notes when Edgar would go into a trance and say to him, I have an entity that has, for example, a stomach problems. And Edgar, in the trance, would tell her what to tell the patient to do. And what I've done is I've gone to different pharmacies and asked the druggist on many of these antidotes that Edgar gave, and most of them never heard of Edgar Casey, let alone the antidote.
Yeah, that's amazing. Some people don't know who he is or was.
Especially in the business, you know?
Yeah.
So I just find it was so interesting, and I have his black book of a book.
Oh, very good. Yes, very good. What Don's discussing is that there, you know, many of the Casey remedies, the readings themselves have been organized to make a, you know, user friendly, and so Don has one of those books. They're out there. You know, it's one of the important things is why an association is necessary, because you can't get a lot of the ingredients for the treatments. For the medical treatment, certainly. So this is sort of a central clearinghouse. We have people who are dedicated manufacturers of some of the electronic products or the electrical devices, some of the formulas, some of the lotions. You know, Marilyn Monroe used to use beauty aids that were recommended in the Casey treatment. So, and they're very specific how these are. You know, how they would be compounded, how they would be formulated. And so that's really another great benefit of the ARE.
How accurate would you say he was overall?
I've only found a handful of readings, probably less than 10, that look patently false.
Wow.
And I know Edgar Evans and Hugh Lynn, Casey's two boys, actually wrote a book. It's called The Outer Limits of Edgar Casey. Wrote a book on that very subject because Casey was so accurate. They put it up there around 91%. But it's interesting, coming into the vault now and revisiting the readings in that book. And that book was written in the 1970s by Edgar's children about the mistakes. And now, out of the 20 or so examples in that book, five of them have been actually proven correct today. It's just we didn't have the medical or we didn't have the science technology to prove it out. For example, the oil wells. Casey has long been described as being a failure in finding these oil wells. In reality, you know, we took a Texas oilman back in, I don't know, it's like 8-9 years ago, and we revisited all a lot of the places Casey said oil would be found, and there's oil pumping there. And the two or three places where it's not are in places like national parks.
for him to be wrong, let's say, even in those minimal cases, why could that happen? How could that happen if he's getting good information from the other side?
Well, that points out to the source. And as we were saying earlier, with a treasure reading, sometimes what's coming through, you know, is a pirate. Jack Rackham is leading us to this pirate treasure. A word we haven't mentioned yet is Akashic Records.
Right.
You know, the Akashic Records in the Casey universe is this repository of all the information that ever was. And the challenge is linking into that Akashic record. Sometimes Casey described it in a dream as literally a library where you would go and you'd pick out a book and there would be George Norrie's name on the book and you'd open this ancient text and you'd read through George Norrie's past lives and you could see his medical condition. And so it's a question of tapping into that. I think sometimes he couldn't fully tap into that, or the information given him about a specific person was very weak. For example, one of the readings we know was absolutely incorrect was a medical reading for a woman who had actually died, who was actually dead when the reading took place. And there had been a delay in getting the reading. And so at the time the request was made, the reading was probably accurate. However, by the time the actual reading took place, you know, she was dead. So I don't know. How would you explain that?
Yeah, how do you? You can't. You can't. Did he have a temper?
He had a temper, and it's not discussed all that much, and it's one of the reasons that the vault is fireproof. and that goes back to childhood, because there were a number of mysterious fires around his life, and sometimes when he was angry, and there was one.
You mean he could literally set a fire with his mind?
Yes, and one is the case. He went to bed angry. He fell asleep on the sofa, and he was mad as hell at his father, and right in the middle of the night, the cushions under him.
Jeez, he could have burned the whole house down.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I wasn't kidding. The vault is fireproof for that reason, and for, you know, of course, you know, preservation reasons. But
could he?
It is an interesting subject, and Casey had. He's always described as the sleeping prophet, but the Casey we know today exhibited conscious clairvoyance as well. I think audiences or readers from the 1930s and 40s, especially fundamentalist Christians, or just society in general, needed him to be a sleeping prophet, someone where this only happened in a sleeping state, because you wouldn't want somebody walking down the road who knows what's on your, you know, inner thoughts or can read your mind. But I think we know Casey today as someone who could do those things, who could see auras, for example, around.
Was that story correct and true about him not getting in an elevator?
Yes. And, you know, as so many of the stories you would imagine have been embroidered over the years, you know, after telling and retelling. But, you know, we know the hotel that story took place in, and we have a witness. His son, Hugh Lynn Casey, was with him. But there are many instances like that, that come out, and the family just learned not to talk about them because it would make Casey too strange.
Interesting. And all his three children are all now dead, aren't they?
Well, one died in childhood very early, and two sons.
Milton was the one that died early.
Yeah, Milton Porter, very good, George.
I do my work.
I'm really impressed.
I do my homework, Sydney. Come on. Carol in North Carolina, welcome to the show. Hi, Carol.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine.
Two and a half years ago, My son and I created the most wonderful mother-son memory when we spent the weekend in Asheville and saw your program.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I'm glad it was
something we'll never forget.
Well, we're going to go back to Asheville this year, by the way, just so you know.
We haven't
publicly announced it. Well, I guess I just did.
Well, you kind of hinted at it last night, I think. Sydney, I'm at the end of reading the book, There is a River, which brings to mind, I have two quick questions for you, Sydney. One is, the files that are in the vault, are they in chronological order by date or by patient numbers? How are they organized? That's one question.
They're in the vault themselves. You know, just picture long lines of file cabinets, and each file in those are done by the individual. And so if he or she had five or six readings, they would be in chronological, in that order. But that's what's so cool about working with the Casey Muriel material today. You know, There is a River was a biography published in Casey's lifetime, you know, back in the 40s. And they weren't able to study the readings the way you and I can do right now on the Internet.
Right
on the Internet, and so take all the readings, and you can look at, say, all the readings for stomach ulcer or something, or plantar's, you know, warts or something, and you can look at them chronologically, and you can look at them individual. You can study them in so many different ways that you couldn't do before. There's a very popular book in the 60s called Sleeping Prophet, Jess Stern.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jess Stern, I think it took him just 18 weeks to write that book. And
that's record.
Yeah, well, it's a record, but it also tells you that he didn't read those readings. And he certainly read some of them or a lot of them or tried to, but it would literally take you 3 years to read your way from one end of that vault to the other. And people are doing that now, and what's nice with the, you know, power of the Internet and so much technology is that you can access these things. And so the vault of tomorrow is going to be a virtual vault, and we'll all have this information. It'll all be sort of like a greater Akashic record.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the Hall of Records. We're going to hit a break, but we'll come back and talk more about it, Sydney. That fascinates me almost more than anything he has talked about, because I think it has the instructions on how they built the pyramids, whether they had flying machines, all kinds of things. What do you think?
I think that's the ultimate buried treasure. And boy, I would be so excited to launch an effort, as efforts have been launched, to discover the, you know, secret burial place of the Hall of Records.
We will be back with more calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Our final segment with Sydney Kirkpatrick here, True Tales from the KC Vault. Sydney, in 1931, did they not try to go after Edgar Casey and put him in jail for doing what he was doing?
Jail twice. You know, the truth is hard to take. And, you know, it makes sense, the you know, skeptics, but they were after him. They were after him.
Yeah, they did. But he won, did he not?
Yes. He was arrested in New York once for practicing medicine without a license. And and then again, he was arrested in Detroit. And there's a great story in Detroit.
My old hometown.
Yeah. In Detroit, so he and his son Hugh Lynn were brought into the jail cell, and there were apparently some rather frightening, scary inmates,
uh-huh,
or, you know, fellow prisoners in there, immediately relieved them of their bedding and possessions, and they were very threatening. And they wanted to know what Edgar Casey was in jail for, and Casey gave a great moment of conscious clairvoyance, because just like he was giving a reading, suddenly he turned to the biggest inmate, who was, you know, a jail, you know, felon who was in there with him, and he said, "Well, there's the reason that the police essentially give you why you're here, and then there's the real reason. Like you're in there for striking a child. With your car. But what really happened is the argument you had with your wife that sent you irate, stamping out of the house.
Whoa.
And into your car. And so he went through the jail cell with everybody in there.
And they were just baffled, weren't they?
Blown away.
I love it. I love it. Is there anybody today practicing like Edgar Cayce did?
Well, there are certainly very, very gifted psychics. No single psychic, I think, that has come across our radar screen that can do all of those things. However, I think there are two really interesting, important points. Cayce said that everyone can do what I do. He says,
he did say that.
The exact quote is,
"Oh, we lost you again. Let's see if he's there. Are you there, Sydney? Nope. Let's call him back, Tom. He's gone. I hope. But let's go to some of the calls, too. Wayne in Chicago. Wayne, we've lost Sydney, but we have you.
Wow. That's unfortunate. How you doing?
Good. Bro? We may get him back. I hope. I hope his phone didn't die on us.
Yeah, I hope he can hear my question.
Go ahead.
I think he's the exact same guy that you had on like 4 or 5 years ago.
We got him back.
Good.
There you go. Sydney, you with us?
Yes, good. I don't know what happened there.
No, you were just gone. So we'll check into that. But we've got Wayne in Chicago who's got a question for you. Go ahead, Wayne.
Right. The last time he was on your show, George, he said that Edgar Cayce came out of a trance. I'm playing skeptic here, even though I believe in Edgar Cayce, but I'm going to play skeptic one time.
Okay.
The last time that your guest was on, he said that Cayce came out of a trance, and I'm paraphrasing now. He said something like, even God doesn't know what man is going to do, you know, from moment to moment, day to day.
Right.
But that doesn't jive with Jesus and Peter. When Jesus told Peter, before the cock crow, you will deny me three times.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus is a man, so he knew what was going to happen in the future. That's exactly what happened between him and Peter with the cock, and Peter denied him. So if Jesus, being a man, knew what was going to happen in the future, how could Edgar Cayce say God didn't know what was going to happen in the future? You guys follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I think you're splitting hairs here because just like we were talking about the prediction, I think, you know, at certain point, it isn't a prediction. Like the future does get locked down. Cayce gave readings. People asked for advice on how to cure this condition, and Cayce would say, it's beyond being cured right now.
Oh, so he would level with people, wouldn't he?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yes.
You know, he said one of his simple remedies, which I do every day, he said, eat 3 raw almonds a day to prevent cancer. Didn't he say that?
Yes, he did. You've got to be careful now because how almonds were grown back, you know, in the 1930s and 40s are different than they are today. Just like,
well, that's a good point.
Broccoli doesn't have the same nutritional value that it does. So you've got to understand of the greater context of these readings. It's not just a slam dunk, but there's lots of evidence that what Cayce said about almonds is absolutely true.
Somebody gave him great information, huh? I remember reading his books when I was younger. He did write some great small books, didn't he?
Well, what the books are compilations of his readings. He didn't himself sit down and write a book.
So he wasn't the author. I was reading stories about him, probably.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the big books on Cayce, you have There is a River, which was written in his lifetime by someone who knew and worked with him. And then Sleeping Prophet, which was hugely, you know, popular in the 60s. And the books that Nancy and I write, we've written 2 books on Cayce. And the first is really the definitive biography of Cayce that's sort of no holds barred.
That's Edgar Cayce, An American Prophet?
Correct, right. Yeah. And the second book is True Tales from the Vault, which are really more about the people who had the readings and the effect it had on them and how they worked with it. You know, for example, there's a wonderful story of Louise Brigham, who was really the inspiration for IKEA furniture, if you can believe that.
Yeah,
I mean, it just came out of the readings. Another tragic, heart-wrenching story in there is Anna Newmark, who was a young, very gifted artist, and she'd come to New York as a teenager, and a client buying one of her paintings lured her into his apartment and did just brutalize her, just horrible. And Casey gave a reading for her when she was in a mental institution, and he essentially said, boy, well, these are my words, you can get back and read the reading themselves, but you know, she can't be healed right now because her spirit is, her soul is no longer in her body. It's hovering outside her body.
Wow.
You've got to repair the temple, and this is what you've got to do. And just harrowing.
Was he well liked by people?
Oh, very much. And you know, as Nancy and I tooled around the country researching Casey and finding people who had readings, so often they would tell these wonderful stories, and it wasn't about the readings themselves. It was about Edgar Casey as a person, because he was such a, they liked him so much. I mean, he had a great sense of humor, and he was very, you know, he was not full of himself at all, whatsoever.
We go to Joe, Long Island, New York, east of the Rockies. Hello, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi, Sydney. A couple of questions. You mentioned the idea that Casey brought forth of angels having expertise. Now, if you would approach angels yourself, would you be looking for a generalist or an expert on a particular matter?
Huh.
And also about that reading about the future geopolitics of the world, you know, mentioning China, it seemed to be coming from the perspective of, you know, Uncle Sam knows best, the USA should retain autonomy, you know, and this is, you know, I don't know if we're the world's best arbiter. I mean, we've given the world Monsanto. And also about these people that are centuries old, where are they? I mean, can we talk to one of them? And
well, you know, I mentioned that in particular just because it was really mind-blowing, and it was really out there in left field. And initially, when I read, like, the angel readings, the few occasions when an angel makes an appearance, I was very skeptical. But I've since, in doing that research, come to actually believe it. Believe that there was some, and I don't mean necessarily, I don't mean an angel with wings popping out of their back, but a some heavenly higher spirit. And Casey gave actual, one of these readings was for a little girl, Faith Harding, from Pennsylvania. And she's actually going to be our guest at the next Edgar Casey Congress.
Oh, that would
is,
be
which
cool.
Which is in June.
That would
And so if you ever want to, if you want to meet Nancy and me, you want to talk about these, come to our World Congress in June in Virginia Beach. It's fun. We also have another guest there who is interesting. And you probably, George, had her on your show. I'm not sure. Diane Hennessy Powell in Oregon.
I think I may have.
Yeah.
I remember the name.
She's an absolutely fascinating woman. It was a, you know, Johns Hopkins trained physician, psychiatrist, and then she taught at Harvard. So she's like, you know, got serious credentials. And she works with telepathy, with autistic children. You know, an autistic savant. These children who have these just amazing...
Yeah, I had her on about 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, she's just doing these incredible stuff, and it's all, it fits perfectly in with the Casey material and how it's done, but it's a scientific explanation. So she's coming in June, too, for our World Congress. It's going to be a fun time. Maybe we can lure you there, George.
We'll check the schedules with Tommy, if you would, Sid. The angelic realm that sometimes surrounded him, does that also mean that the demons and devils would try to get to him too?
Oh, I think so. You know, but it's a real gray area. But there are certainly, well, okay, Let me put it this way, because I don't want to insert Sidney Kirkpatrick. We'll use just stick with Casey. Some of the two most fascinating readings to my mind were conducted on the same day. We had a phenomenal Irish-born psychic named Eileen Garrett, who was the same sort of generation as Edgar Casey, but she was the European version of Edgar Casey. Just brilliant, brilliant psychic specifics. So on the same day in the same place, Casey gave a reading on her as she was giving a reading on him.
She gave one on him?
She gave a reading on him while he was giving a reading on her.
Huh.
Staten Island. It's so cool because they see each other as they're crossing, you know, into this ethereal plane and describing what they see. And you know, Casey describes moving through some dimension where are these horrible sort of creature-like things. That's my word, but they
and we've heard this from other people too that have been in these other planes of
existence.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's why these two readings are so interesting, because Eileen Garrett's source guide is going one place and Casey actually passes her.
What do you think of Winfrey's book that our buddy David Wilcock is the reincarnated Edgar Casey?
I don't know. You tell me. I mean, so certainly David doesn't. You know, he's a wonderful guy.
They have the same nose. Casey and David have the same. If you hold their pictures up next to each other, they've got the same nose. That's close, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, David's not giving medical reading.
No. I want to ask you a quick question. This is all entirely up to you. We still have a bank full of phone calls, which we'll get to a couple, but can you stay one more half hour?
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Okay. We'll do that because there's so many people on hold and I don't want to just dump them.
I love it.
I'm going to do open lines next hour, but we'll keep you for the first half hour.
Thanks.
Janice in Hawaii. Hey, Janice, go ahead.
This is really a pleasure speaking with you. I've been listening to you, and I think you're amazing. You have wonderful guests, and you're a total gentleman. Anyway, I've studied Casey since the 70s, and I've been over to Virginia Beach a few times back then in the 70s, and he's influenced my life tremendously. And a couple of things. He gave life readings also, and he was asked, sometimes people would ask him about getting healed, and he would say, what purpose do you want to get healed for? What is the purpose in your life that you want to, that would give you reason to want to be healed? Also another thing I wanted to bring up, sometimes some of the remedies that he requested,
mm-hmm,
or that he prescribed, they don't really work nowadays because our bodies are too complicated. You know, we have too many chemicals in them, and the foods are not the same kind of foods
That's what Sidney was talking about, the almonds, for example, that Edgar Casey said, eat 3 almonds, you fight and prevent cancer. Almonds may not be the same anymore. Totally different, indeed. I think he meant bitter almonds too, didn't he?
Well, you know, there's a debate back and forth, and bitter almonds can't even be bought in the United States now.
Same with apricot seeds.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, so many of the cancer treatments, for example, you just can't do them here. But Casey gives them, like this woman with the rabbit pelt. You know, Casey actually talks about injecting the farmer's husband, the husband, in taking his wife's blood and injecting it into the rabbit.
Jeez.
I don't know if that's going to go over very well at Johns Hopkins University.
No, probably not. Maybe they're afraid you'd create a chimera, a cross between
but
a human and a animal.
Your caller from Hawaii, you know, absolutely. Yes, all power. You get it. You understand it. Because, you know, Casey says, well, you can do these treatments, but why are you doing them? You know, you've got to heal the head and the heart as well as the body, or to make possible the healing. I know one of those things that George has heard over and over and over, because Casey keeps repeating it, mind is the builder.
Yep.
What you Absolutely. Hold in your head, you know, you create. You are a non-physical being, your soul, and you create, you know, this is the matrix, the construct, if you want to call it.
All right, stay with us. Sidney Kirkpatrick will stay one more half hour for your calls, and then I'll have open lines the latter half of next hour. So those of you on hold, don't be upset, because we will try to get to you when we come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. The website, edgarcasey.org. Linked up at coasttocoastam.com.